Thanks, Gower, for reading and for chairing for us. Good morning, everyone, and welcome to Cross Life Church. My name is Michael. I'm one of the pastors here. It's great to be back after long service leave as well. I did miss you guys, and I can honestly say that from the heart. It's great to be back bringing the word to you. The title of this talk is Will Justice Be Done? Jesus is speaking about justice today, and in our opening question, we talked about all sorts of racial and gender-related injustice as well. We see that a lot in our world, as well as global injustice too, wars, that kind of thing as well. We're going to see what Jesus has to say into those particular issues. But also, I've got to say, I have to leave fairly quickly, kind of after church. So if you don't see me after church, it's because I've left to speak at another friend's church. And so I'll be back next week. See you later. Goodbye in advance. That kind of thing. Let me pray before we get into the word. Let's pray. Dear Heavenly Father, we cannot see everything and we cannot know everything, but you do. And so, Lord, we pray that you may help us to be reassured by the words of your Son, Jesus, here. Please help us to trust in them, and please help us to take care how we hear the words that you have to say to us. And, Lord, we ask this in Jesus' name. Amen. One of the things that frustrates me as I read or watch the news, or when an election comes around and people make promises, or even just in regular conversation, is that I have no idea what is going on behind the scenes. A politician might come out advancing a particular cause, but I have no idea whether they actually believe that or whether there's just some deal that they have made with someone else to say it. Someone goes to a court for a crime and the verdict comes out not guilty, but are they actually not guilty? Or did they just have a really good lawyer? I'm meeting someone, I'm talking to someone, and I have to make a decision about whether I can trust this person without knowing anything that is deep or important about their life. One of the frustrating things about our world, I think, is that we only have access to perceptions and images. All that we see is just what people want us to see, and we cannot see behind the scenes. And that leaves big question marks over a lot of the judgments that we make in our world. You know, will we ever know whether this particular war or that particular war was actually justified? Will we ever know whether this person accused of killing that other person was actually guilty, even if they were found not guilty? Will we ever know whether they caught everyone in that conspiracy, or are there some people who are sitting in their mansions laughing at how they got away with it? That kind of thing can lead us to ask, is someone ever going to answer for this? Will justice ever be done? Now, I've got to be careful here when I say this kind of thing. I do not want to criticize the fine young men and women, especially the fine young men and women, especially in this church, who work for the justice system or for the government. I don't want to antagonize them. Please don't take what I say personally. I might need your help someday, and I want to be on your side. On the whole, our systems in Australia are pretty good, but they're not perfect. Mistakes are made. Some people still get away with it, and there are tons of other countries in the world which are not as just and fair as ours. And as Christians, we have to care about that too. Jesus' words to us today speak into that frustration of injustice, that frustration of not knowing. And I hope that today the words of Jesus will be both a comfort and a challenge to us all. In this part of Luke, Jesus has been going around teaching about God in the cities and villages of ancient Israel. He's been getting quite popular, and so people are coming, they are gathering to hear his teaching. Right before our passage today, because it's been a while since we've done Luke, Jesus has explained how God wants his people to be fruitful. And he's talked about how there are four soils, and each soil is a different response to God's word, but only the one who hears the word and bears fruit is the one that God actually respects. And what Jesus now is doing is he's following up with another reason why we should hear the word and believe it in verses 16 to 18. And it's because God is a light that exposes. And we see this in verses 16 to 18 when Jesus says, "No one after lighting a lamp covers it with a jar or puts it under a bed, but puts it on a stand so that those who enter may see the light. For nothing is hidden that will not be made manifest, nor is anything secret that will not be known and come to light. Take care then how you hear, for to the one who has, more will be given, and from the one who has not, even what he thinks he has will be taken away. Jesus begins by saying that God has a light that he wants to shine. Verse 16, no one after lighting a lamp covers it with a jar or puts it under a bed, but puts it on a stand so that those who enter may see the light. The purpose of a light is to shine out. It's to help people to see stuff. It is pointless to turn on a light and then cover it. You are back to square one, right? I think the modern version of this might be, no one turns on the torch on their phone and then puts it back into their pocket. You know, you turned it on for a reason, right? It's the same with God. God has a light that he wants to shine. But what kind of light does God want to shine? Sometimes when the Bible mentions light, it's talking about a light that illuminates. People recognize or they know something that they did not previously know before. When we talk about people having a light bulb moment, that's the light that sometimes the Bible is talking about. Other times when the Bible talks about light, it's a light that guides. And so we might use the example of a lighthouse that lets ships know of the dangers that lie near the shore and guides ships to where they should go. But when Jesus is talking about light here, he's actually talking about a different kind of light. He's talking about a kind of light that exposes. He's talking about the light of judgment. God's light reveals things that people want hidden. It exposes secret things, evil things, things that people try and cover in darkness. That's why verse 17 says, "For nothing is hidden that will not be made manifest, nor is anything secret that will not be known and come to light." God's light here is like a spotlight. It's like a searchlight. It's a light that hunts, that reveals, that exposes and judges. Jesus is talking here about the time when he returns, God's final judgment at the end of the story of the Bible, when all of God's plans and purposes are completed. Jesus will return. Everyone will rise from the dead. Everyone will appear before the judgment seat of Christ. God's books will be opened and people will be judged according to what they have done. And what Jesus is saying here is, there is no hiding from this judgment. We are dealing with a judge here who knows everything, who sees everything. You cannot keep secrets from him. He knows what is going on behind the scenes. Romans chapter 2, verse 16, it says that God's judgment is that day when, according to my gospel, God judges the secrets of men by Christ Jesus. It's an amusing debate that people often have when they ask the question, if God came to our earth now, what job would he have? Well, what would he work as? People would often argue that God would have the job that they themselves have for obvious selfish reasons. So doctors will argue, for example, that God is the great physician. God can diagnose what is going on in people's hearts and God can prescribe the best kind of cure for them. Lawyers will argue that God is our advocate. He is our defense counsel. He acts in our defense against the legal judgment that we deserve. If you are a teacher, then you have a very good case for God being a teacher. Jesus teaches. Jesus has disciples. Disciples are learners. God teaches us by his word. Over the last few years in Christian circles, we've been hearing more about how God is an artist, that God does not create just function. He also creates beauty. He creates a world for us to enjoy. But I think here in our passage today, what we see God as the supreme auditor. God is the supreme accountant here because nothing gets past him. God looks at everything that people have ever done. God misses no detail. He is better at seeking than people are at hiding. God's judgment is the light that exposes everything. And that's a great comfort when we wonder to ourselves, will justice ever be done? When we think about wrongdoers who are let off the hook, when we think about world leaders who are too powerful to convict, or even just when we're not sure whether justice is done, whether people are guilty or not guilty, we may never know the truth. But we can trust that there is someone who does. And that one day God will bring everything to light. We do not have to hold the burden ourselves of being the judges of the world. We can leave it to God, who will do a better job than we ever will. And so when we face injustice, our great reassurance is in the judgment of God, because he is the light that exposes everything. But you may have noticed that that is actually not really what Jesus says here. Jesus has spoken about God's justice. Jesus has spoken about God as the supreme auditor. God, nothing escapes God's notice, and so God will judge justly. But Jesus doesn't say then, therefore be reassured that other people are going to get what they deserve. What he actually says, how he actually follows it up, is in verse 18. Jesus says, take care then how you hear. You see, when we think about justice, we often think that it's something that other people should fear. Rarely do we think that it's something that we should fear. But that's what Jesus is saying here. If God is a just judge, if God's judgment will expose every hidden thing and reveal every secret, well, then maybe we should be worried more about our own secrets than the secrets of others. Would you be comfortable with God playing a video of all the thoughts that you have ever had in your life to everyone else in the world? Would you be comfortable with God making public your internet history? Would you be comfortable with God revealing everything you've ever said in private to your family? Everything you've ever muttered under your breath? Everything you've ever said about other people behind their backs? Because that is what it means for everything hidden to be made manifest and everything secret to come to light. And God's judgment is a serious business that we are dealing with here. Jesus says, to the one who has, more will be given, and from the one who has not, even what he thinks he has will be taken away. He's saying basically here that the lives that we live on earth are a microcosm. They are a practice run of what we're going to experience in the afterlife. Our eternal life is going to be our earthly life amplified. If you lived your earthly life hearing God's word and trusting God's word, you will get even more of that when Jesus returns. But if you lived your earthly life away from God, ignoring God, well, then God will remove himself even further from you. As I get older, I realize more and more what my parents have done for me. I think I realize that even more so upon becoming a parent myself and all the things that I do for my children. I would have never realized these things as a kid. And I think how disastrous it would have been for, like, kind of 7, 10-year-old me, for my parents to take away completely everything, all the good that they did for me. I know that now. But when I was a kid, I just took it for granted. I couldn't see it. You know, you're just a little punk kid who's blind to the kindness that is being shown to you. It's the same with us and God. People might say that they don't need God. They might live like God is not there. But they have no idea of the kindness that God is already showing them, even now. And they will only realize it when what they already have is taken away. Jesus says that God's judgment will reveal every hidden thing, every secret thing. Jesus says that our earthly lives are a practice run for the afterlife. If we take this seriously, then our lives will hopefully be on an upward track with less and less things we are ashamed of rather than more and more. God's judgment is also serious because there's no way around it. You can't cheat it. You can't escape it by being born into the right family or being part of the right group. And we see this in verses 19 to 21, when it says, then his mother, Jesus' mother, and his brothers came to him, but they could not reach him because of the crowd. And he was told, "Your mother and your brothers are standing outside desiring to see you." But he answered them, "My mother and my brothers are those who hear the word of God and do it." It's a bit of a savage thing that Jesus says to his family. I would not encourage you to say this to your own family. This is the kind of thing that you can only really get away with if you are the Son of God. But what Jesus is saying here is that his family have no special claim on him. They have no special inside track into the kingdom of God. You can't be right with God by being born into the right family or being part of the right club. God doesn't check your personal references at the final judgment. You know, you try and say to God, "But my parents were Christian. But I went to Cross Life Church as a kid. But I was baptized." It's not about that. Being part of God's family, Jesus says, is about hearing the word of God and doing it. Notice that repetition, by the way, between the previous passage and this one. Verse 18, remember, Jesus says, "Take care how you hear." Verse 21 now, "My mother and my brothers are those who hear the word of God and do it." It is how we hear the word of God that shapes our eternal destiny. It is what gets us in or out of God's family. Determines whether God will give us more or take away what we already have. And it determines whether we are joyful or ashamed when God reveals all our secret things at the judgment. So take care how you hear. But what does it mean to take care how we hear? Jesus says we're meant to hear the word of God and do it, but what does God's word actually say that we should do? Well, I wonder whether instinctively, when Jesus talks about hearing God's word and doing it, our minds normally just kind of turn to rules. We think about do's and don'ts, kind of all these deeds that we have to do and all these kind of sins that we have to avoid. And you can't completely get rid of that, right? You know, God does tell people to do things. Obedience is an important part of the Christian life. But that's only really half of the story. And it's not even the most important half. People who hear the word of God and only come out with rules have not heard God rightly. You can see this in Romans chapter 1, verse 5. This is Paul speaking, where he says, "Through whom," that's Jesus, "we have received grace and apostleship to bring about the obedience of faith for the sake of his name among all the nations." What does it mean to obey God? To have faith. 2 Corinthians 5, 20-21 as well, Paul says, "Therefore we are ambassadors for Christ, God making his appeal to us. We implore you on behalf of Christ, be reconciled to God. For our sake he made him to be sin who knew no sin, so that in him we might become the righteousness of God." See, what is Christian obedience here? Well, obeying God here is obeying his call to trust in him. Obeying his call to believe that Jesus has died for our sins. Obeying his call to be saved by the cross. You see, hearing God's word is both faith and repentance. It's both believing in Jesus and doing good works. It's both being saved by the cross and being shaped by the cross. We need both to be able to stand before God with a clear conscience. We need to believe that Jesus died for us because our hidden things, our secrets that will be revealed, our skeletons in the closet, they can only be dealt with by Jesus. What the Bible says about Jesus is that he has taken all those on himself so that they are no longer part of our record. They're part of his, so that we can be blameless before God. At the same time, though, we can't honestly say that we believe in Jesus and love Jesus. We can't honestly say that we're part of God's family unless we take on the family values and take up the family business of hearing our Father. And that means living a changed life. It means acting like Jesus really does make a difference. You need both to be able to stand before God at the judgment. Hearing Jesus rightly is both being saved by the cross and being shaped by the cross. Can I encourage you to hear the word of the Lord? And so we can often wonder whether justice will be done. We can often wonder whether the people who hide their crimes and their sins will ever have to answer for them. And God says, yes, they will. Because people's dark and secret deeds may be hidden from people, but they cannot be hidden from God. And God promises a time when all of that will be revealed and when people will have to face the consequences of everything they have swept under the rug, everything they have deleted, everything they have hidden. But instead of being happy at that, maybe we should take Jesus' words to heart. Take care then how you hear. Because we all have secrets of our own. And what will we do when they are revealed? And Jesus says the way that you deal with it is by hearing God's word and doing it. Believing that Jesus took your secret sins on himself, believing that Jesus put them on his record and not yours, and dying to take the punishment for them. And secondly, turning away from those sins and living the new life that Jesus wants you to live. Being saved by the cross and being shaped by the cross. The last verses of Ecclesiastes chapter 12, after 12 chapters of mulling over how meaningless and frustrating life is and why we should do anything at all if nothing in life really matters, the writer of Ecclesiastes finds meaning only in God. God is the only thing that can give meaning and purpose to life. And he writes in Ecclesiastes 12, final verses of the book, the end of the matter, all has been heard. Fear God and keep his commandments, for this is the whole duty of man. For God will bring every deed into judgment with every secret thing, whether good or evil. Let's pray. Heavenly Father, we do thank you for the reassurance that there will be a time when secrets will be revealed. There will be a time when the people who have done wrong will answer for their crimes. We thank you that you are a just God and that you will bring justice when your Son Jesus returns. But Heavenly Father, we pray that in light of that judgment, in light of that coming of your Son Jesus Christ, that we may take care how we hear, that we may be people who are obedient to your word, who hear your word and do it. And we pray that we may hear all of your word, the parts of your word that call us to trust in your Son Jesus Christ, to believe that he has died for our sins, to take our sin on himself. And Lord, we pray that we may know that because of what Jesus has done, we can stand shameless before you, knowing that our sins have been put on Jesus' record and not ours. We pray, though, that that love for you and that trust in Jesus may be reflected by a life of obedience, listening to what you have to say, trusting your ways and not ours, and living them out in our lives. And Lord, we pray that when we face that final judgment, we may be found holy and blameless in Jesus. And we also pray that we may be able to take as many people with us as we can. And Lord, we ask this in Jesus' name. Amen.